The Guardian.
Hello. The Labour Party conference is in full swing. We now know who will lead it into the new era. So what better time to look at new books by two of our most influential commentators, which look at the strengths and weaknesses of Labour's time in government and assess the huge challenges ahead. Will Hutton is an Observer columnist and vice chair of the Work Foundation and is leading the coalition government's Fair Pay Review. His new book, Them and Us, is subtitled Changing Britain, Why We Need a Fair Society. Polly Toynbee is also a leading political columnist who has kept up a relentless pressure on the Labour government through her twice weekly columns at The Guardian. Her new book, co-written with David Walker, is called starkly The Verdict, Did Labour Change Britain? We managed to pull them away from the conference carousel to tell us about their books here in The Guardian's own studios. Welcome both. Now, these books are only just out this week, so our readers won't yet have had time to read them. I'd like to start by asking you both in turn to lay out your stalls. Will, would you go first?
What I'm trying to argue is that we have capitalism. We're unlikely to socialise at any time soon. So the open question is how to get the best out of it. The best of capitalism is when people take genuine risk, create genuine wealth, and they do it, I argue, when societies are open and in a condition of, you know, codependency between the public and the private. And actually, you know, capitalists themselves say, you know, we do great things when we're hunter-killers, when we're allowed to succeed in our Darwinian struggle for survival, and everything that we do needs as little constraint as possible. And I argue that actually that's not right. Actually, that capitalism succeeds better when actually you take care of really important values like fairness, proportionality, and actually recognise the importance of public institutions. That's the heart of the book.
Right, Polly, the verdict.
Well, we are the antidote, in a sense, to all of the books that have come out by the key players, the Blair, Mandelson books, many more to come, about the melodramas that went on at the top, horrifying though they are. Our book is about the hard outcomes. It's purely about the policy, very little about the people, the personalities and the rows that went on. So that it's looking at where did Labour start in 97, where did they end, and what happened in health, in education, in fairness and redistribution, looking inevitably at their foreign policy, and trying to assess to what extent Labour made the best use of the golden opportunity it had in 97 when, you know, red carpet was rolled out for it, the economy was set fair. And did they make as much difference as they could have done with the chances that they had?
There's one thing I've been dying to ask both of you. You've been worked as colleagues for a very long time. You've been fellow travellers. Are you still fellow travellers or have you diverged politically?
I don't think we have much. I think I've always been hugely influenced by Will's view of capitalism, which is that it only works when it's well regulated. You can't have capitalism in an anarchic society. It doesn't work in Somalia. And he's been the best exponent of why regulation is what makes capitalism work. So I don't think we've diverged. I'm very pleased that he's in charge of this Fair Pay in the Public Sector Commission, because I know it will also examine why some pay got out of control in the public sector. It's because of the explosion that's happened in the private sector. So I'm looking forward to the results of that.
Now, Will, Robert Skidelsky in his review in last week's Guardian review described you as a liberal, not a socialist.
I'm not a socialist in the 20th century term of that word, no. I don't believe in monocultures, you know, the control of the commanding heights of the economy by the state. I've always preferred to think of myself as a liberal and as a liberal social democrat. You know, I believe in collective action. I believe that in, you know, proportionality of reward in a society. You know, I believe passionately in justice. I believe human beings are of equal worth. You know, I believe in, you know, I like Polly, I guess. I mean, I believe in the European Enlightenment and actually the creation of a public realm that actually, you know, holds private monopolists and centres of private power to account. And I think in the 21st century, actually, you know, I write for The Observer, Orwell wrote for The Observer, you know, the Orwellian threats in the 21st century come less from the state and more from dense concentrations of private power.
I can see Polly nodding there.
I've always called myself a social democrat. When I say always, I'm going back to, well, I suppose when I joined the Social Democratic Party in the early 80s. And I'm very happy with the sort of Scandinavian model at its best as being what I would hope that we would aim for, hugely thriving, successful economies combined with a very fair society, possibly one of the fairest societies one's ever seen, with humanity and civility and a liberalism. And I don't see why we shouldn't aim for that.
Now, there's some sense in both these books of having been let down, isn't there? Will, in your 1996 book, The State We're In, was hugely influential in mapping out the territory that New Labour came to occupy. The vocabulary, stakeholder economy, all those sort of phrases were very much associated with you. But you say in your book that New Labour had no appetite for the ideas that you advanced.
No, none. I published The State We're In 15 years ago, in the January of 95, and I was amazed at its success. The first print run was 3,000 copies. It sold 250,000 in the end. There was absolutely no appetite for embedding any checks and balances, any regulation, if you like, any kind of countervailing power to business in the city. I mean, it was about the politics of assurance after losing four general elections. That's what Peter Mandelson was into. It was about demonstrating that the business world is safe with us. And actually, the only appetite New Labour had, really, I mean, the settlement they arrived at was, we'll leave the structures of capitalism exactly as we've inherited them from the Conservative Party. Luckily, there's growth with what turned out to be the bubble economy. We will spend the tax revenues on building up public services and alleviating poverty for the deserving poor through the tax credit system. And that was basically the settlement. And actually, as it happens, the first collateralized debt obligations, the first credit default swaps, all the instruments that were to create the financial crisis in 2008 actually were being launched the same year that The State We're In was published. And, you know, it would have taken, you know, politicians of extreme resolve, both intellectual and political, and with a very substantial political base, to have really determinedly said, we are going to be tough about this, we are going to take the city on. Even allowing for that, they did an amazingly little. Interestingly, in Them and Us, the Liberal Dem wing of the coalition government have got a lot of appetite for some of these ideas. And even some of the Liberal Conservatives, you know, see it with Vince Cable's State of the Liberal Dem conference, where he actually, you know, almost read from the script of Them and Us. And he's had piles of bile put on his head for being the anti-business secretary, but making the fundamental point that there is good capitalism and bad capitalism.
Except for one great big thing, which is that he didn't denounce the cuts that are going to be so toxic and so deep that it really sweeps away everything else that he said. If only that went in the context of saying, but we must be much more pragmatic about growth. Because as we stand at the moment, we are going to see cuts so much deeper than anything that's ever been before that they have unfairness built into them in spades. We are going to see a huge increase in inequality.
Yes. Now, Polly, you're more just going back to the premise of my original question, which is how disappointed you are, how let down you feel. You say Labour stopped inequality getting worse. So you're more positive than Will, really, aren't you, about the record?
Oddly enough, between writing the book and it appearing under the change of government, it now looks rather more positive. I think we'll look back and say, actually, a lot of what they did was really quite good. What we've done in this book is to record everything that they did and didn't achieve. In health, pretty good. In education, pretty good. We've now reached European average standards in education. That's pretty good, because we were far behind. In health, we've almost ended waiting lists, which used to be the great public concern. But on the equality, well, they were running up a down escalator. All of the forces, all of the global forces were pushing towards these insanely high salaries at the top and pegging down low pay at the bottom. And they did redistribute with tax credits. They did spend quite a lot of money, which had no political advantage to them, because a lot of the recipients of these tax credits either don't vote or didn't give Labour the credit for it.
The big gains were made in the first 5 or 6 years. I mean, things, the last 2003, 2004, they'd really begun to make some inroads. But actually, you know, deep poverty, workless households, child poverty began to go backwards after 2004. The line drawn from the Severn to the Wash, go north of that, and even pockets of desperate poverty in parts of London, where actually there is no private sector entrepreneurship. There is no small and medium-sized business formation. The settlement that New Labour arrived at with British business, that actually it would permit, essentially, you know, the UK economy to be organised around the primacy of financial services, and not to try to create a much more diversified economy, had not just economic consequences, but knock-on social consequences, which actually, in the end, however smart you are with the tax and benefit system, you can't do much about it.
That's true. Redistribution cannot do this on its own. It really has to be, as Will suggests in his book, a really fundamental rethink of the whole way that we prioritise everything. And I don't see much sign of that kind of thinking in the Labour Party right now.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.